Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious God and Father of our eldest brother, Jesus Christ, we thank thee, Father, for this word, knowing that they that were waiting for the return of your Son, that he came to them, and they were so thrilled, Father, because that's us that I believe the scripture speaks of. For we are waiting upon the return of your Son, Jesus, knowing that we have come through the shout. We've heard the message, we've received the message, and the message has taught us the relationship that you had with your Son, Jesus. So we saw it even through another son, William Branham. And so, Father, we've accepted our position in the family. We've accepted our calling. We've accepted what you have done. We've accepted the passive faith, the revelation, which you declared through your servant. And we patiently have waited now and are waiting for the return of your Son, Jesus. Be with us, Father, as we would continue to study the sermon, the spoken word as original seed. It's been so much, and it's meant so much to our hearts, Lord, as we have studied these words. Because as we see, the world is coming into a place where there's much turmoil in all the continents, turmoil in all the countries. There's economic stress upon the nations. There's shortages of food, fuel, the shortages of mercy and grace. There's shortages of love and kindness. As you see things, Father, that are coming to an end, and knowing, as we find in the races of human, the disease called AIDS, which basically we find that their immune system is gone. Even so, we find in the world, in the earth today, they found a great hole in the ozone. And they said that when the sun will send forth its burst, as it does about every 11 years, they said this time, because of the letting down of the shield, so to speak, the earth is without defense. And so we find that the earth has AIDS. And that's because, Father, you said that when we step out from behind the protection of the word, there's nothing left but judgment. So help us, Lord, to always be standing in the cleft of the rock, between the wings of the Old and New Testament, and on wings of an eagle, you'll bring us up into that other dimension and save us from the wrath to come. We're so thankful for these things, Father, and we ask that you'd bless this word tonight as you blessed it 40 years ago when it was spoken. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." As we see the beginning of sorrows coming upon the earth, we can have a great consolation knowing the soon return of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that at that time our God and Father will lift us up out of the way and away from the wrath before it all comes and becomes a consuming fire. It seems like everywhere you turn today to find what's going on, it looks like a very dark, cloudy picture. even though today we have a very nice and sunny day, yet the events that are taking place all around us in this world seem to be dampening the spirits of many. People are entering into despair. They seem to have no way of hope except for trying to do something themselves. And we realize that we do have a promise. In Isaiah 25 and verse 9 it says, And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, and we have waited for Him. And He will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Again in Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Again in Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. So if we're waiting for Him, we have a promise here that He's going to be good to you. In fact, all things are working out for your good. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And in Isaiah 30, verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. In Psalms 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. You see, I don't hope in the things that I can do, because we don't know if those things are going to do us any good or not. You know, we have people today, they're packing away food, and that's not a bad idea. Noah packed away food, but the other hand is, if that's where you're putting your trust, well, on the other hand, if the Lord shows you something and you don't do it, so we just have to trust in God. Just Psalm 62 and 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Psalm 59 and 9, because of His strength will I wait upon Thee, for God is my defense. And Brother Branham said, before it gets too dark of an hour, the Lord said, so that all flesh won't be destroyed, He would shorten the days. Well, we're coming to the point where the days have got to be cut short, because many things on the earth are happening. We can see the handwritings on the wall. We see the pact is beginning to be made between the Jews, the bankers, and the Vatican. They're beginning their talks. But you know, we have a few things left to happen. California's got to go. And the thing of it is, we're not going to be gone before it goes. Brother Branham said that California will go before the coming of the Lord. Billy Paul's not an old man. In fact, I had a dream the other night. It was really a wonderful dream. And we were with Billy Paul, this church here. He was here with us. And we were waiting. I bet there's many, many more people here. Many, many more people in this dream. It was like a huge pavilion or tent. And Brother Billy Paul was young. Not as young as he was back in the pictures where he's all skinny and everything. He had more meat on his bones, but his hair was all there. And it was nice and dark. And he was talking to the people and said, now, Daddy, we'll be here. You'll be here shortly. But then he began to talk to us and say, now, I'd just like to just kind of go over a few things before he gets here to let you know that Alpha has become Omega, and that the appearing has taken place. And he began to tell us the things that we've been teaching for years and years. So I like that dream. And I believe that we should be praying not only for Brother Vail, that he makes it all the way through. I don't know if you're aware, but he had to go to the doctors again today, and it's been quite frequent lately. It seems like at least once a week he's feeling so sick that he needs to go to the doctor. He doesn't know if he's got a bug this time or not. But you know, that's the way it was with Sister Vail. You know, the last few years, she seemed like every week or every 2 weeks, you know, there'd be a rush to the emergency. And so we just want to pray for him because, you know, he's going to be 97 in just a few months. And I wouldn't call that young. But he's had his reservation in, and he's had to wait. And I know we all are praying that he'll have to wait a little while longer. He don't want us to pray that way, but that's his tough luck. We want him here, but we would also like to see him in good health. So let's just be praying for him. Continue to pray for the brethren over in Iran. I sent out an email to the families here to let you know that they had to postpone the trial because the government didn't have any evidence. And the judge said, without evidence, we don't have a trial. So they said, give us a week. And when they say that, you know they're going to try to get false accusers in there. People come in and make up stories. And so just keep the brothers in prayer because you know, you can see the handwriting on the wall. It's just it's either that or they're just dragging it out to make it very, very difficult for these people. So just keep them in prayer that our God would save them from the wrath of man. Now from the spoken word's original seed, number 176, Brother Branham said, or paragraph 176, Brother Branham said, now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb did. And watch close, this is going to have a spiritual background. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming in sight. It's nearing the time to be given. Joshua in Hebrew means Savior and represents the promised end time leader to take the church over. Caleb represents a true believer who stayed with Joshua. Now, I'm going to insert here, did you know that the name Caleb means one who barks like a dog? You know that? That's what I told Brother Vail. I said, Caleb means one who barks like a dog. And I said, because Brother Vail would always, you know, kind of snarl, you know, in the pulpit there until he got his new teeth. How many remember before he actually had that operation done? When the way he looked at you and the way he could stare you down looked pretty tough. After he got those new teeth, he looked pretty harmless. So I told him, I said, Brother Vail, I said, now your bark's worse than your bite. It used to be your bite was pretty good too, but the name Joshua means one who barks like a dog. And I was mentioning one time about, well, you know how Moses, I said, Caleb, when he went in, he was 80. No, Brother Vail said, no, he was 90. He's in his 90s. So I said, all right, he's in his 90s. And he was in his 80s at the time. So so anyway, we could have it that Caleb was, because Brother Branham said our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. I believe our Caleb is Brother Vail. So anyway, Caleb represents a true believer who stayed with Joshua. God started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Now notice how God did not move Israel until his own appointed time. Now listen, this is going to mean something. Joshua waited for that time. No matter how much people might have said, God gave us a land, the promise, let us go take it now, or let's go now and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission. You're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to know, thus saith the Lord, in a moment, and what was the will of God. But this wise God-sent prophet knew the promise of God. But also he knew to wait for that promise. A clear-cut decision from God for his time. And when the time did come, God gave it to Joshua, who had stayed with him by the word, for he could not trust others. He could trust him, so will it repeat. Well, God could trust him because he was willing to wait. He's willing to He knew the promise. But as we mentioned Sunday, there's not only the time, not only the what, which is the promise, but there's a time for that promise. In Acts 1 and 4, we read, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but that they should wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." And so they went to the upper room. And as Brother Branham pointed out in the last few paragraphs we read from the spoken words original seed, he said, what if they had said now, well, it's been 6 days. I think we've been here long enough. Nothing would have happened. They would have missed the promise. But he didn't say it's going to be in 2 hours and 35 minutes, in 15 days. He said, wait until. And we have a promise of a second coming. We already had the promise of the appearing before the coming, and we've already been partakers of that. We've already been partakers of the shout. But we have a promise of the voice, the resurrection. And not only that, but we have a promise of a tent. We have a promise of a third pole. We have a promise of a restoration of the bodies. Hallelujah. In Habakkuk 2 and 3, we read, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Why? Why won't it tarry? Because it's for an appointed time. You're the one that has to tarry, not the vision. And from Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to reap, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep peace and a time to speak. Now, if we could all learn to wait for the right time. Time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, time to reap. Like Brother Branham said, you know, when he was a boy, his father said, you can't plant those potatoes. The moon's not right. And Brother Branham said, what does the moon have to do with the potatoes? And his dad said, don't be a smart aleck. It had to be a right season, a right time. Brother Branham learned from his father's harsh words that there is a time to plant and there's a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to tear down, a time to sow, a time to keep silence. That's maybe one that we all should think about, and a time to speak. Remember, Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth will speak. So a man is no more or less than the sum of his words. And so when we approach this great message, let's never fail to remember who came down and spoke this message. It wasn't Brother Branham's message. It was God's message. The things that are hidden belong to the Lord our God. But when those things are revealed, they belong unto us and to our children forever. And it's no longer Brother Branham's message, because it belongs to you now. It's revealed to you. And out of the overflow of his heart does he speak. So surely we are witnessing the revelation of his own being from his own voice and from his own heart. And he has given us this wonderful opportunity for our own benefit. And remember, in Ecclesiastes he said there's a time to sow and a time to reap, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. And he came down in this hour as the Son of Man. And we know that most of the parables Jesus told us of the Son of Man is that he comes forth planting seeds for a great harvest. There's something that's interesting to me when I look at Brother Branham's ministry, and he said, something's changing in my ministry. He said, things are slowing down. He said, nothing sinful. But he said, it's just that things are closing down. And Brother Branham knew there was a change coming out of his ministry. I feel the same thing happening to me. I don't feel this year, I don't feel led to go to hold big minister meetings this year. I feel led to go to follow up. As Paul sent out people to follow up to find out if what he had sowed had held steady. And just keep me in prayer, because we were supposed to have a minister meeting in Congo this year. 300 and some ministers attended last April, and they're expecting even more this year, perhaps 500 in Kisangani. And then we're to go over to Mabanza Nugungu, where the rainbow came down, and we were to have a follow-up meeting there, but only with the entire village or the entire town. And they had rented out a 30,000 seat soccer stadium for the meetings. But something's happened, and of course there's all over Africa, all over the Middle East, there's fires going on, there's wars going on, there's riots going on. And right now in Congo, the same way. It's a year of a presidential election there, and the people get very, very hot because there's 47 tribes. And so only one of them becomes president, and the other 46 become vice presidents, the tribal chief. And which makes a big difference, because it's a matter of pride, it's a matter of controlling the government. And so the people over there take their elections very seriously, and there's a lot of warfare. When they had the elections in Kenya in 2008, good friends of mine had to hide out for days on end. One brother had to send his wife to a far distant village way back in the jungle, and while she was there, she gave birth to their firstborn. He came out the next morning, and there was limbs, heads here, and arms and legs just hacked to pieces by machetes. And you all probably saw where there was over 100 and some people in that, I think it was like a Church of God or Assemblies of God church right in his town in Eldoret, where they came and they burnt all those people alive. They took mattresses, they put them around the building on the outside, they lit them all with put gas on them and lit them all and killed all those people. Well, that was the tribe where Obama's from, and where his uncle, and he was over there campaigning for his uncle, and his uncle used all the same slogans, change, and a change that we can be proud of, and a change, all these things, and the same stuff, and yet that ended in where his uncle didn't win, so. His tribe, which was one of the larger tribes, they went on the war path. Finally, the president who did win, he said, okay, tell you what, you bring your boys back and halt the fighting, and halt, we'll make you something, we'll make you a sharing partner in this government. So they got their way. If they don't get their way, they kill. See that with the Muslims right now. We see it all over the world. And as the Holy Spirit begins to pull out of here, I wouldn't want to be here for one second. Well, there's a time for planting. There's also a time for reaping. In Hebrews 1 and 1, the King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we are hoping. We are hoping. Now, we can't hope in a shout because it's already come. But we can hope for the resurrection. And faith is, revelation is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that you don't see yet. Now, in examining the scripture, we see that the word substance means assurance. The Amplified translation puts it this way. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the confirmation. It's the title deed of things that we hope for or that we earnestly expect, being the proof of things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real facts what is not revealed by the senses. And from the Weymouth translation, it says, now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not yet see. Revelation is the assurance of things we earnestly expect, and it is a conviction of things which we do not yet see. Again, we should also understand that the word for substance in the Greek is hypostasis, and is used in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 as more than just a thought of being sure or confident or assured, because it is used in expressing the very substance of God himself. Hebrews 1 and 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the hypostasis of his, and the express image of his person, of his hypostasis, of his person. That's why I have assurance, because, look, anybody can write a book. I don't have assurance in Isaiah. I didn't know Isaiah. I don't have assurance of Ezekiel. I didn't know Ezekiel. I don't have assurance of Jeremiah or Zechariah, but I have assurance that they were prophets of God, and thus God has a standard, and he wouldn't just give his word to someone he didn't trust to give it the way he gave it. Therefore, I have confidence that this is God's word. Faith is the substance. Faith is a person. You see? From the Amplified, it says, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's very nature. The New American Standard says, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. So we see that this word used to describe faith, hypostasis, is more than just a mental principle of having assurance, but this word actually deals more with the nature of being sure, being confident. You ever meet people that are just, they seem to be confident all the time? Seem to be on top of things. They don't let things get them down. You see, faith is the assurance. It's a nature. It's a certain nature you have. And when you're born again, it's God's nature in you that's very sure that God's word is true and that all other things are a lie. So it's not just in a positive sense of the word, but from the aspect of your very nature, having or exuding an air or atmosphere of being confident. Since this word is used both for the very nature of God being manifested through his own Son, and is also used for the assurance that faith produces in us, then it therefore has to do with our very nature, even as it has to do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, reflecting God's own nature. So in Psalms 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Now, I wouldn't wait patiently for someone that I didn't have any confidence that they would hear my cry. You see? Psalm 37 and 4, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And I think we're hearing this hour that the wicked are being cut off. Psalm 37 and 7, rest in the Lord. Remember when the seventh seal opened? Seven times, Brother Bram knocked on the pulpit. He said there's relaxation under the seventh seal. So why do we get worried about the things coming on this earth? Doesn't mean you don't plan. Doesn't mean you don't take measure. In fact, the thing is, when you know something's going to happen, there should be less fear about it happening. You know, the worst thing that can happen to a person, and I know I've been there, is when you know there's going to be layoffs, and you don't know if you're going to be one of those that's laid off or not. But finally, when it does hit you, now you can deal with it. Now the reality's there, now I can deal with it. Now I can go forward. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. I can't help but when I listen to the radio and different ones talking about these incredible things that are happening on the earth, there seems to be such a doom and gloom atmosphere. There seems to be such a heavy repression, depression. Brother Branham said, you know, God can't send... God can't send judgment till the people are in the spirit of judgment or for judgment. And in the message preparation, that's where Brother Bram said that. God prepares their heart first, and he gives them what their hearts are prepared for. You see? But we have a promise. When we see these days approach, we should lift up our hands and rejoice, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. That's our government and people like them, the rich. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Job 14:14 said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. Now, how many got their body change? We got a little waiting to do. Then to doubt shows a lack of understanding with whom that you're dealing with. If faith is the assurance of things earnestly expected and the very conviction of being convinced of those things which you have not yet seen, then when he is truly revealed to you, you are very sure and need no further convincing. Therefore, the revelation stands on its own. More blessed are you which have not yet seen but believed. So it is not a matter of seeing, but of not seeing, yet perceiving and knowing. Jesus said, more blessed are you that have not seen, yet believe. In Hebrews 10:22, we read, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And again in Romans 5:2, for whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in hope, in the earnest expectation of the glory of God. And yet, we've not only seen the glory of God, but we have the glory of God. This is the hour that the glory of God is endoxazo. It's glorified in His saints, the opinions, the values, the judgments of God. You've got them. You're living them. You're expressing them. Hallelujah. But this is where we fail. We're not always so sure of where we're standing. Just like a little child who knows that when they're the apple of their father's eye, they can get just about anything they want from that their little heart would desire. But when the child knows that it has done something that displeases his father or her father, then they don't have the same confidence. In Jesus, he said, if we sin not, then we have confidence. If we disbelieve not, then we have confidence. But if we do have confidence, I'll tell you why. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us of all our past sin, all our present sin, all our future sin. The fact is that we're walking in the light. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, and Brother Brown said, faith is justification. That's our justification. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who can deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who giveth me the victory. And Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Why did they not have faith? Why did they not have this supreme confidence in God to see them through? Because they were constantly bickering and fighting with one another. They were so focused on the circumstances around them that they became embittered in their hearts and they could no longer see the promise that God made for them. You see, when Peter began to walk on water, now can you imagine walking on water? And yet Peter did. Jesus did. Yes, we know Jesus did. But Peter, a crusty old fisherman, walked on water until he began to look at the waves instead of Christ. And when he got his eyes off Christ and got him on the circumstances overcame him. Psalm 95, 1 to 11. They didn't come forth with joy and anticipation, but they soon forgot all the victory that they had already seen. Let's just turn to it. Psalm 95. And reading verses 1 through 11. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of his hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Why? They didn't know his ways. The Bible tells us that Moses knew the way of God. The people saw his acts. So the people saw the things of God, but because they didn't know the ways of God, they couldn't enter into that rest. They didn't come forth with joy. They didn't come forth with anticipation. They said, there's giants in the land. Who can take them? And so they soon forgot all the victory that they had already been through. That's why I say, keep yourself a log. Honestly. Keep a ledger. Write down all the blessings that God blesses you. You're going to need it one of these days. Keep focused. Write down the things that God has done for you. The dreams that you've had. That were from him, that you know were from him, because of the way that it left you. The times that there would have been an accident had it not been for some unforeseen miracle that took place and you don't know how you made it through. The times when just God has opened up his blessings from heaven, showered you abundantly above measure. Yes. Write down those things to keep your focus. Brother Branham kept a vision book. He'd go back to that vision book and look at those things. There was times when Brother Branham had dry spells. Now, he had contact with God in a way that you and I don't. Visibly, audibly. But he went through dry spells. Just like you and I do. It's at that time he'd crack out that vision book. Looking at the assurance. That's when you need this book here. Go to Hebrews 11. See the things that everybody went through. Those that had faith. Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things by the Red Sea. How quickly they forgot. How quickly? 10 plagues that struck Egypt, wiped it out, and didn't touch Goshen. Then when they got to the Red Sea, when they saw another plague, the army of Pharaoh, why didn't they say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Our God changes not. How dare they come down against the children of God? With that attitude, they could have walked over much sooner. And the pillar of fire was holding back the armies in the cloud by night. And they saw that blazing fire holding back the armies of Egypt. And they were afraid. They were afraid that God might, his great fire might somehow exhaust itself. Can you exhaust the blessings of God? Can you exhaust his loving kindness? God wants to do more for you than you would have Him do for yourself. And so our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. They provoked Him at the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things by the Red Sea. And so what do? Moses is gone, only 40 days. 40 days he's gone. Let us make another god. Get out your gold. Let's make a little calf. Have something. We've got to have something to worship. What about waiting patiently for His return? You must never look at the circumstances, no matter what they are. Hannah was an old woman. An old woman. And she wanted her baby. And she wept before God. And the Lord hearkened and heard. And He said, "You'll have your baby." And she did. And his name was Samuel. Romans 4:19. "And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, who was 90. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God." He didn't look at himself, nor did he look at anyone else. He didn't even look at his wife for the promise. He looked to God and to God alone for the promise. See, that's where you come short. You look at yourself or you look at somebody else. Somebody else to fulfill your promise for you. No, look to God and God only. And He will give thee the desire of thy heart. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Hebrews 6:12, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise." Notice, through faith and patience inherit. Not, "I got to have it now." No. You got to have it when the time of inheritance is taking place. Hebrews 11:29, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian assaying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Brother Brown said they could run chariots four wide around that wall. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." The walls came down 20, 30 feet wide. Houses underneath those walls. People crushed. Not Rahab. Hers was right in that wall. Hers wasn't crushed. They say that there'll be winds of 200 to 300 miles per hour when the solar shift takes place. But not everywhere. They said they don't know where it'll be, but it'll come, it'll go. But 1,000 at my right, 10,000 at my left, but none will come near me. Isn't that what the scripture says? I think isn't it strange that we are going through the same life cycle as they did at the first Exodus. With the coming on of this planet, and the Sumerians said the planet passed through 3,600 years ago. Scientists says that when Joshua raised his hand and asked God for more light, the earth shifted suddenly. They had more light. Two verses before that, it says, "And God killed more with stones from heaven, killed more of the enemy, the Canaanites, with stones from heaven, than all of the army of Joshua was able to kill." Yet why didn't those stones fall on the Israelites? They were only across the valley. You see how sovereign God is, even in the destruction, even in all these things shifting and everything else. A prophet of God said that the Mississippi River would run backwards. He said that Florida would go underwater. He said all of these things. California will go. We know it's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be grieving. We should be excited. We're not in California. We're not in Florida. If I had a vindicated prophet that said these things about California and Florida, I'd be out of there. Because he said it's coming before the coming of the Lord. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. They didn't get mud up to their knees. It was dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. The Egyptian tried to walk on the same place they just walked on, and they drowned in it. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. We have these examples, and yet we have the greatest example, which was Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure with him. No, we don't want to be looking back. Don't want to be looking forward. Just keep your focus right on the Word of God. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Brother Ron taught us faith is revelation. Is this message truly revealed to us, or are we just kind of, had a great time talking about God sent a prophet? What's it all about, brother, sister? Are we going home? Hope you got enough faith to go home when it's time to go home. Brother Branham said, I'm not making this for doctrine, but Brother Branham said, people are worried about those UFOs and things, those lights. He said, one of these days they're going to pack you home. Are you going to be willing to step onto it or into it when that light comes for you? Let's not be too lofty and think that these things don't happen. You got a vindicated prophet of God. Look, Ezekiel saw the wheels in the wheel. Something came down, picked him up. They called it a chariot, took him home. Hey, I'll take the assistance any way God wants to bring it. To lift me up and over the wrath that's coming. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, that means mature and entire or complete and wanting nothing. In conclusion, we have Romans 3:3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? If God said it, it has to happen. He's the faithful one. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what does the word diligent mean? Anybody tell me? If you're diligent, what does that mean? Sure, just pedal to the metal. You're full throttle. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And James. In closing, James 5:7-11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the parousia of the Lord draws nigh. Well, it's here. We're living in this day. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Let go of the grudges. Take my brethren, the prophet, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender, and full of tender mercy. Is any among you that's afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for the other, that you might be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth but by the space of 3.5 months. 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin. There it is. Are we sons of God or not? Are we willing to walk forth, claim the promise? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the understanding that there's a time and a season. We've been through the sowing season. We're now into the harvest season. And we realize that all that this nation has sowed is reaping right now and shall begin to reap. But the things that we have sowed, Father, we have also begun to reap. And you said that if we hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, these blessings would come upon us, and those blessings would overtake us. And so, Father, we're laying in the presence of your Son. We are ripening, Father. We're sweetening up. We're tendering down, becoming tender in our spirit. Help us, Father, to be like those people were over there that Brother Branham saw that were so sweet, kind to one another. Help us, Father, before we take that great voice, that we would be ready to be in those meetings. That we wouldn't come under condemnation, as Paul said, but we'd be there to reflect thy glory. Father, we thank you for the way that you're preparing us through thy word, through dreams, visions, and all kinds of things that you've done in this hour. You prophesied in Joel that the young maidens would see visions, and the young men would have dreams, and these kind of things taking place, Father. We realize, Lord, that you're still here. And we believe, Father, that your visions that you gave to your prophet will come to pass. They will not tarry. So help us, Lord, to learn to patiently wait, but to be focused, ready to receive in the time and season when it is ready to be given. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song from 2 Timothy 1 and 12. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him again.